You're listening to Stateside. I'm Cynthia Canty. It is Wednesday, which means it's time to talk history with our partners at the Michigan History Center.
I, Gerald R. Ford, do grant.
The other passengers there reluctantly gave up their seats, but I refused.
The young man makes up his mind to work. There's no limit to what he can do.
This is truly the next chapter in General Motors' recovery and turnaround.
You're living at a time of extremism, a time of revolution.
With two peninsulas, 83 counties, Michigan is a large state. For instance, a completely in-state drive from Monroe up to Ironwood would take you over 10 hours. To get a better sense of Michigan's varying geographic and historical differences, we thought it would be fun to break down our state county by county. Last week, we introduced our History Center spinning wheel with Michigan's 83 counties on it, and it spun and came up with Isabella County. So we're going to get the lowdown on Isabella County as we welcome back State Archivist with the Michigan History Center, Mark Harvey. And Mark, before we start talking about history, I'm going to bet there are some folks listening to us, because we're all over the state, who may not exactly know its location. So where is Isabella County and what are some of its geographic features?
Isabella County is almost dead center in the middle of the state. So this is almost dead center in the palm of your hand, pretty much central. An area that's marked by glacial features, including something called moraines, which is where the glacier just pushed rock and soil together and created some mild rises. And the soil is, in the research we did, is sort of hit or miss. It was either clay or really sandy washed out soils. Agriculture is really big, and lumbering, as it was in many parts of Michigan, was a big industry and part of the geography early on.
All right, so almost smack in the center of the Lower Peninsula. And of course, the area was inhabited long before European colonialism by indigenous people, probably Anishinaabe. Tell us about the role of Native American people today in Isabella County.
The Saginaw Chippewa tribe is a robust part of the community, but it's also its own separate government, including courts, police force, governing council, and other various government departments and commissions. So it's its own sovereign entity. They even host the Michigan Family Olympics in Mount Pleasant, and they have a robust educational and cultural program for their community.
You know, in fact, I know we have certainly explored that here on Stateside with members of that nation. So when did Isabella County kind of start to form into the government structure, you know, within the confines of the state of Michigan that we know today?
The boundaries of Isabella County were first set off in name in 1831, so actually when Michigan was still a territory. And if you've seen any of those early maps of Michigan, they don't really look much like Michigan, but Isabella County was set off in name, but it was actually part of Mackinac County for a long time, as was most of the middle to the north of Michigan. It really got enough population to become a political structure in law in 1855 when they created co-township, and then Public Act 118 of 1859 set aside Isabella County as an official county. But this was organized after nearly 60 years of broken treaties removing the indigenous people from their land.
And again, certainly something that we have seen repeated around not just Michigan, but yes, throughout this country. Tell us, Mark, how did Isabella County evolve as it went through the 20th century into today?
Well, originally the county seat was Isabella Center, but a year after the county was created, voters approved the transfer of the county seat to Mount Pleasant. Interestingly, a gentleman named David Ward donated a large amount of land in that area, which I think helped that move happen. And I think listeners will want to remember that name, David Ward, because as we do these county histories, that name's going to keep coming up because he bought a lot of land on speculation. There's even a town in northern Michigan named after him called DeWard. But the county grew slowly, so population in 1860 was around 1,400 people. Currently, we're in the low 70s for population, low 70,000. So incremental growth, it's due to the fact that this is a largely initially cut over timber. You know, lots of logging industries. There's still a lumber mill present in the county, but largely agricultural production to this day.
And certainly known for Central Michigan University in Mount Pleasant. What else would Isabella County be able to lay claim to?
I think it's probably best known now for the Saginaw Chippewa tribe that's there. They've remained a vital part of the community and run the Soaring Eagle Casino there and have the Zeboing Cultural Center, which is just a gem that everyone should go and see. And of course, Central Michigan University I think one of the gems in Central Michigan that's missed is the Clark Historical Library, and we've spoken with them here on this show. They have one of the largest collections of Ernest Hemingway papers other than the JFK Library at the Clark Historical Library.
Wow, who knew? Now, finally, how did Isabella County get its name? Do we know?
There's a couple different stories. Neither of them are good. So one is that a gentleman named Henry Rowe Schoolcraft provided the name or suggested the name after Queen Isabella of Castile. And the other is a very cliche attribution that many county histories have for their county, that the county was named after the first Caucasian female baby born there. So neither of them are really compelling, but the explanation that Schoolcraft named it after Queen Isabella of Castile is probably the most compelling at this point.
The ins and outs of Isabella County. Thanks again to State Archivist with the Michigan History Center, Mark Harvey, as we kick off our county history features. Mark, thanks so much.
Thank you.
And as we explore county histories, we figured it would be fun to speak with a local history buff. We called up the former president and longtime member of the Isabella County Historical Society, Sherry Sponseller, and we asked Sherry, what's the strangest story from your county's history?
We had a triple murder here just after the turn of the century. In Isabella County, we've only had two triple murders forever, and it was a domestic dispute. The marriage occurred in 1900, and the young woman involved was only 16. And she was a country girl, a young, innocent kind of gal, didn't realize her husband had quite such a temper as he did. They had a child within the first year, and then the spousal abuse kind of got started, and she made the decision to move home with her parents and the little child and gave him basically visitation rights. He took the child to his parents' home many times to take care of her, and the wife went into Mount Pleasant, the county seat, and actually filed for divorce. And when he was served the papers, his temper got the best of him, and he went to the hardware store and bought a gun. Well, he went to his in-laws' home thinking his wife was there. She wasn't, but in his rage of temper, he killed her mother and her father. And then he went to his own parents' home and killed his own child. It was written up in the paper, you know, as an extraordinary thing. And they wrote about the funeral, how many hundreds of people showed up with horses and buggies. And then that whole entourage came into the town of Mount Pleasant from the country church to where the parents and child were buried together in our local city cemetery. It occurred in 1902. So, I mean, we got a lot of things. Spousal abuse wasn't discussed. Divorces were extremely uncommon for anybody to have. So in 1902, that in and of itself was quite different. And then to have him murder her parents and the child even, that was probably the worst part of it. It was called the Gulick Murders, G-U-L-I-C-K.
And that was Sherry Sponseller of the Isabella County Historical Society.